Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Today, I'm welcoming back Dr. Jennifer Adolph, who is the senior nutritionist for PetCurian. PetCurian is a premium pet food company, and Dr. Adolph has been on my podcast many times to talk to us about many things related to pet nutrition. Today, she's talking to us about something that I get asked about quite frequently, and that is reading pet food labels. There are a lot of misunderstandings and misinformation out there about pet food labels and the information contained on those labels. Today, Dr. Adolph is here to talk to us about how to read pet food labels, what we should be looking for on the labels, and what we can gather from the information found on our pet food labels to help us choose the best nutrition for our companion animals. Dr. Adolph, you've been on the show many times. You know how this works, so I'd just like to jump right in by asking you if pet owners are able to trust the information that they read on pet food labels, and why or why not?
That's a really great question. Contrary to popular belief, pet food is actually a very highly regulated food product, especially in the United States, and it must meet both federal and state requirements. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration regulates finished product pet foods, as well as the ingredients that are permitted to be used in pet foods. Also, almost all states require that products sold in their states be registered. And so, for example, every time we create a new food or on an annual basis, we have the control officials in each state review our labeling and make sure that we adhere to the strict requirements for pet food. There's an organization called the Association of American Feed Control Officials, or AFCO for short, and they're an organization of state regulatory officials that develop model bills and regulations for pet foods. And so companies that sell their food in the U.S. actually have to undergo quite a bit of scrutiny in order to be allowed to sell their food there.
Oh, that's interesting. As you mentioned, you know, a lot of people have concerns about those regulations and why we have recalls and things like that. So it's good to know that those regulations are out there.
Yeah, the food supply is actually incredibly safe, especially for pet food. I know people get very worried about recalls and that sort of thing, but if you look at the number of recalls in pet food compared to human food, they are a very small percentage, and companies really want to do their absolute best to create safe and nutritious food for pets.
A lot of pet owners, you know, it's challenging to read the labels. Why is it so challenging to understand, you know, are there loopholes in the labeling requirements or information that might be left off?
I completely agree that it is challenging to read pet food labels. I started my career in the human nutrition world and then transitioned later to pet food, and learning how to read the labels was definitely something new for me because the labels are quite different from human food. So we're used to seeing, you know, the nutrition tax panel on our own food, but the information on pet food is quite different. And one of the reasons for that is because pet food is designed to be nutritionally complete and balanced, meaning that it provides all of the nutrition that the pet needs in that one food. Whereas for humans, it's completely different. We eat a wide variety of foods with the hope of meeting all of our nutrient requirements. So there's a lot of information on pet food bags, and there's certain information that is mandated to be required on the bag, and so it must include the brand and the product name, also a quantity statement, and so how much is in the bag or the can. And something about the name to remember is that there are specific regulations from AFCO regarding how products can be named. Also, So there's the guaranteed analysis, the ingredient statement, the nutritional adequacy statement, the feeding directions, and also the name and address of the manufacturer or distributor. So it's a lot of information, and we really need to dig into it deeply to really understand what all of those different components mean.
And that brings us to my next question, which is, you know, when we're reading those labels, what are the important things that we should be looking for, and what information can we gather from those things?
From a nutrition perspective, there's four key areas on pet food labels that we need to consider: the ingredient panel, the guaranteed analysis, the feeding guidelines, and the nutritional adequacy statement. So first of all, the ingredient panel lists all of the ingredients that are included in the food, and it's important to remember that the ingredients must be listed in order by weight, descending order by weight. So the ingredient that is listed first in the ingredient panel means that there is the most of that ingredient by weight in the food. The guaranteed analysis is kind of similar to the nutrition facts panel on our human foods, and it provides information about the nutrient content of the food. At an absolute minimum, it must include the minimum crude protein, the minimum crude fat, the maximum crude fiber, and the maximum moisture. And that word crude is kind of a weird one, isn't it? It's what it actually refers to is the testing method that's used to determine the protein, fat, and fiber levels. Other nutrients must be listed in the guaranteed analysis if there are any claims made about that nutrient. And then there's also nutrients that can be included at the discretion of the pet food company. So if a pet food company wants to highlight that their food contains a certain level of a certain nutrient, they can do so in the guaranteed analysis. If you're interested in learning more about the nutrient content of your pet food, please don't hesitate to reach out to your company. At Petcurian, we have a great customer care team who are always happy to answer consumer questions about their pet food.
And another important thing to note is that you can find a lot of information online as well. If you go to your company's website, Petcurian, for example, has some great information about the ingredients they use and why they use those ingredients, the health benefits of them and things like that. So, you know, hopefully your whatever company you use has that information available as well online.
Yeah, we include a description of all of the ingredients that are used in our food, as well as the nutrient profiles for each of the recipes for the Go, Now Fresh, and Gather brands.
And I love that because it's so transparent for people. You know, it can't all, obviously all of that information can't fit on the label, but it is available. Most people now have smartphones, so while you're in the store shopping, you can jump on and see those ingredients, and it's very transparent. Not all companies, I should mention, are like that. They don't all have that information available, but it's certainly something to check. Most of the bigger brands have their own website, and some of that information might be available if people want to check that out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the other two things to look for from a nutritional perspective on the pet food bag are the feeding guidelines. And these provide the recommended portion size that you should feed your pet, depending on the pet's age, size, and activity level. It's important to remember, though, that the guidelines really are just a place to start. Energy requirements vary significantly from animal to animal, and so the best way to really know if you're feeding your pet the right amount of food is to determine your pet's body condition score. And we have a link on our website at petcurian.com to show how to use the body condition score and charts for both dogs and cats. And always have a discussion about weight management when you see your veterinarian. It's one of the keeping your pet at a healthy body weight is one of the best things you can do for your pet's health. Lastly, the nutritional adequacy statement tells you if the food is complete and balanced, first of all, and which means that it provides all of the nutrients that a pet requires. And then it also tells you if the food is only recommended for intermittent feeding or as a treat, as well as a statement to identify if the food is for all life stages or only for a particular life stage, such as puppy, as whether it's suitable for large breed puppies or not. And so that's a really, really key statement to look at to make sure that the food that you're feeding is suitable for your pet.
And I think that we can both agree that the ingredient list is definitely one of the most important aspects of the pet food label to look at. What should pet owners be looking for in that ingredient list, and maybe what are some of the things that they should be trying to avoid?
So the ingredient list is definitely on my top four things to look at on the pet food label. But one of the challenges with the ingredient list is that you can't really tell the quality of the ingredients or the nutrient composition of the food from this information alone. So it's important to remember that ingredients are the source of the nutrients that your pet requires. And as a formulator, we use the ingredients to balance them and select them very carefully in order to meet the nutrient requirements of the animal. So, and also it's important to remember that ingredients that are approved for use in pet foods are really not inherently good or bad. I know there's a lot of discussion out there about good ingredients, bad ingredients, but really it's the combination of ingredients and the nutrient levels that matter the most when looking at a food. So some of the other things you can consider when you're choosing a pet food is do a little bit of digging into the company behind the food. So find out who actually formulates the food. Do they employ a full-time qualified nutritionist? What kind of quality control measures do they use to ensure that there's consistency and quality of the ingredients and the finished product? And also what types of testing is performed on the food to make sure that it is safe and meets the pet's nutrient requirements? Something else I tell people is to find out where the company sells their food. Do they only sell it in one country, or do they sell it around the world? Because if you're selling a food to multiple countries, you have to meet all of the very strict conditions of selling the food in those countries. And so it really elevates the quality of the food. And lastly, find out what kind of customer care services the company provides. So if you have a question, you can get it answered.
What are some of the most common misunderstandings when it comes to pet food labels? I know we just touched on one with the ingredient list. A lot of people focus on that, thinking that that's the most important. But obviously, as you mentioned, you can't get all of the information that you need from that. Are there other common misunderstandings?
Yeah, I think we covered some of those misunderstandings. Again, pet food, one of the myths is that pet food is not regulated, whereas it actually is very, very tightly controlled. There's new regulations in the U.S. regarding food safety that manufacturers have to meet in order to sell their products. And so pet food is quite a highly regulated industry. And as you mentioned, the ingredient list is important. Some pets don't do well with a certain ingredient in their diet, so you might have to look at that list to see whether that ingredient is included or not. But again, you also need to look at the other parts of the label, the nutritional adequacy statement, and do a little bit of digging to determine the philosophy and the quality assurance techniques and methods that the company behind the brand uses to make sure that the food is safe and nutritious.
And is there anything else that our listeners should know about reading and understanding pet food labels?
It's important to remember that the claims on pet food labels are also regulated, and that they can't bear claims that are false or misleading in the United States. And they can't imply that a food can treat or prevent disease without some significant research done behind the food to show that it is beneficial for a disease condition. And so if something sounds a little bit too good to be true, it's a good idea to investigate it a little bit further and make sure that the claim isn't false or misleading. And that, again, pet food is quite highly regulated, and we want to make sure that that pet food is safe and nutritious for all of our beloved pets.
Absolutely. And again, thank you so much for your time today. It's always great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Samantha. Have a great day.
more great advice from Dr. Adolph. I love having her on as a podcast guest. There are so many questions around pet nutrition, proper nutrition for our animals, how we can find the right diet for them, and how we can go about finding the right brand of food that will meet all of those needs. So as I mentioned, I've done some podcast interviews with her before. If you're interested in pet nutrition information, check out our website, theoryofpets.com, and you can find all of my past podcasts there. While you're there, if you take just a second to review the podcast, that would be great. When I speak with experts like Dr. Adolph, it's helpful for me to show people that there is an audience out there. You guys are enjoying what you're hearing, and you're looking for more podcast episodes. So if you could leave a quick review, that would be really helpful for me. Again, the link to the Pet Curian website is just below this podcast, so you can check that out if you're looking for more information about their brand or you'd like to talk to one of their nutritionists. That is available. I appreciate you guys listening, and I will be back with another hot topic next week.